Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In a season of the dramatic for Northwestern basketball, both pro and con, losing some really close games, winning some really close games. Last night at Welsh Ryan, the coup de grace. Kevin Kugler, Stephen Bardo, BTN.
Tap horn. Long inbound.
Harden with the catch. The finish.
Great call by Coach Chris Collins and his coaching staff to get that one-on-one matchup with Harden against the guard from Michigan.
And the dancing has begun in earnest in Evanston.
Well, 3 years ago, Chris Collins, he stepped into this job in Northwestern. He's done a great job, and he hit it right with the recruiting class. He was able to get in the same recruiting class Vic Law, Bryant McIntosh, Scotty Lindsey, Hughes. So he gets his point guard, he gets a power forward, he gets a scoring guard, all in that same recruiting class, to then go with Lumpkin, who was already in the program, who's now a fifth-year senior. And guy like Tap Horner is a senior who made that pass. They got Harden in the program last year as a sophomore. This is a real talent. The NBA guys, I'd take a long look at Harden, as a matter of fact. So they hit it right. I think Gavin Skelly's a junior, too. He's part of that junior class. They hit it right with that junior class, and they've grown up together. And now they're going to go to the NCAA tournament for the first time. Pretty good. Let's bring in Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. Audrey, welcome. Football team had their workout this morning. I went to it, as a matter of fact. At this time of the year, heading into spring break, how anxious are you just to see something out of football?
Very. You know, it's like we made it to March. The players, Penn State students, for all intents and purposes, made it to spring break. They'll be off all of next week. So, yeah, I mean, and I think, Steve, if you talk to anybody over in the football building, they would say the same thing. I mean, we saw tweets today coming out that the coaches and the players were taking a little mix-up from their conditioning workout to play some dodgeball. So I think,
And a dunk contest.
Okay, see, I didn't see the dunk contest. I saw the dodgeball tweets. So it's, yeah, I think everybody's just chomping at the bit to get rolling here. And you know, this, I think, is about as quiet as it gets. You know, this is kind of the lull. It'll pick back up once they'll get back on campus. They'll do more max out testing after spring break. And then it's spring ball. And from there, I mean, Penn State, they end classes in late April. So, you know, then you break from the summer. It goes back to recruiting. And next thing you know, we're in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, and it starts all over.
How different is your attitude about this team 365 days from where I would have asked this question to you last year?
Very. I mean, I think this time last year, you know, we were all trying to figure out who's Trace McSorley, what kind of quarterback is he going to be, you know, what's the next step for Saquon Barkley for a sophomore season. And you look at it now and you're just like, my gosh, I was interacting with a subscriber the other day on our website. And I said, you know, I'm curious from fans, I mean, what constitutes a successful Penn State football season for them, you know, this coming year? Is it college football playoff or nothing? You know, I mean, if you ask anybody inside the building, of course, they're going to say our goal is always to win a national title. But, I mean, it just sounds crazy, Steve, to even be having these conversations with readers, fans, subscribers, you know, when you're used to being like, okay, is this going to be a 7-win team, an 8-win team? And now you're like, my gosh, I mean, they've gone from mediocre to elite, you know, in the course of a year. It really is mind-blowing.
There are several players that redshirted, obviously, last year. Are there a couple that you have in your list right away that you're anxious to see in spring ball because you didn't get a chance to see them play in a game last year?
Absolutely. To me, one of them definitely is Shane Simmons. And you look at Shane, this is a kid who grew up training with LeVar Arrington, was a highly touted prospect. So he was somebody talking to teammates last year, talking to coaches. They're very high on Shane. And, you know, you look at need, Steve, and it's, you know, they got to find some defensive ends here. And I think he definitely factors into that. So for me, he's one of those guys, as is Michael Mennett on the offensive line. He's someone else I want to see. Going back to the defensive end, Shaka Toney. Curious to talk to Floyd Galton, see what kind of gains Shaka made in the weight room, because, of course, he was undersized as a defensive end when he got here, and they still list him at end. He wants to play in. So I'm curious to see almost a year into that where he is. But absolutely, I think that's what spring ball is all about. You know, it's about getting these guys healthy, also finding a center, you know, seeing what these young guys can do that we really haven't had a chance to see. And they've had a lot of highly touted recruiting classes under James Franklin, so it's an opportunity for us to kind of get some eyeballs on these guys.
Obviously, there's a lot of fan contact with you. I don't care whether it's through postings, social media, or personally. What have they been telling you?
You know, fans are very optimistic, and as they should be. I mean, this is a team that, you know, you go back, you look at it, and had, you know, just about every opportunity to win the Rose Bowl. So going off of that, I think fans are excited to see what happens. You know, another year with Joe Moorhead in this offense. To me, again, it goes back to the defensive line and what tweaks or changes are we going to see there. They have some, you know, needs to fill, of course. You look at linebacker as well. Someone has to take over from Brandon Bell. You need another starting safety back there with Marcus Allen. So fans recognize that they have these holes to fill, but no doubt about it. I mean, the expectations, talking to fans, are very high. I mean, this is a team that they're, you know, you look at it, Steve, and everybody kind of seemingly is projecting this team to be, you know, somewhere in that top 10 when preseason rankings start to trickle in later this summer. So it's more exciting, I'd say, around here than it's been, you know, ever in my time covering this team.
How much time do you then spend, especially this time of year, taking a look at who Penn State is going to play, or do you just bypass that until a different time?
I wait. I try to get into that more or less in, you know, the May-June stretch when it gets pretty quiet again, mainly because right now there's so much going on with recruiting, so I've kind of been putting my time and efforts toward that. I went and saw Micah Parsons play basketball last Friday in Harrisburg and caught up with him for a story. I'm working on one now about quarterback Justin Fields and, you know, what Penn State is, you know, likely getting their next quarterback, because a lot of people are buzzing about Fields now after what he did at the opening regional in Orlando a couple weekends ago. So I'll keep an eye on, you know, some of the opening qualifiers in New Jersey and D.C. and stuff as those roll along, you know, later in the spring, to kind of see what's happening, because that's become such an important story when you look at Penn State. It's the recruiting and how are these guys doing it? What kind of kids are they going after? Who are these prospects? I mean, talking to fans, it seems like, okay, now that the 17 kids are signed, they just want to know about 18, you know? So it's interesting to kind of hear from them, but definitely, yeah, recruiting is a huge part of it.
In those stories, what kind of read did you get from the young people?
You know, talking to Micah Parsons, it was really interesting last Friday night. Damian Barber, of course, Penn State signee, is one of his teammates. And, you know, you hear the stories about Parsons, you see the tape, you see him play in person, the athleticism is just through the roof. But I didn't realize that last year, of course, when he was at Central Dauphin before transferring to Harrisburg this fall, he had played volleyball. He was a standout wrestler in middle school and might actually go back to wrestling next year. That is something that Micah is interested in, and, you know, he thinks that, and according to people there and his dad who I'd talked with, you know, they think this is a guy who could end up somewhere on the medal stand as a heavyweight next year as a wrestler. So it's really interesting just to hear from these kids, you know, kind of their different stories, who they are, what Penn State's getting in them. And it's also worth monitoring, too, especially with a kid like Parsons, who's, you know, big-time prospect, one of the best in this overall class. You know, what his recruitment is like. What's it like when you're getting constantly bombarded by coaches, by different teams? You know, Mike has been very open about wanting to take numerous visits. Just kind of getting in their mind a little bit about this whole process, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the kids, but it's also super stressful, and it's interesting to see the different personalities and how they kind of handle that compared to how some of the other kids do it.
On the current team, how interested are you in the development of Miles Sanders?
Very. And I think you look at it and, okay, everybody knows what they have in Saquon Barkley, and that's, of course, an elite talent. And Andre Robinson's a guy that we saw a little bit more of last year. But Miles Sanders, absolutely. I mean, it just continues, and you look at what they're recruiting and the fact that, you know, they have a verbal pledge from Ricky Slade down the road. So they're getting these elite running backs. And I want to see what, you know, what does Sanders look like now that he's, once it hits the summer, will be here for a year. I mean, this is a guy who came in and was able to play right away, mostly on special teams. And I don't know if we'll see him back there in that kick return role next year. I think that there'll be other guys vying for that position. But I do want to see, you know, what they have in him, how much of a change of pace back for Barkley can he be with a few more opportunities. And ball security was a bit of an issue last year with Miles during a couple stretches. So I think that's something that they'll always, always harp on and continue to evaluate. But absolutely, there are going to be a lot of eyes on him.
Always a pleasure, Audrey. It's great to hear you again.
Sounds great. You too, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Sean Morris, BTN, Audrey Snyder, DK Sports. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, is going to join us to talk about the Big Ten Championships this weekend, taking place in Bloomington. In Bloomington, Indiana. It's Indiana's turn to host this year. So we have that coming up on the show tomorrow. My brother on the show tomorrow, too, with predictions. And it's not quite going as well as it did during football season. And Sean is cleaning up.
I'm shocked by this. Yes, I am 9-1 at the moment. You are 8-2. And the head of Jones Metal in CT is swimming at 5-5.
Yeah, I feel like going out and buying him a block of cheese to go with the wine we'll hear tomorrow.
I thought I'd be getting a lot more whining texts from him this week. But, yeah, all is quiet.
He might be busy.
That's true.
That's he might true. Not be. He might not be either. He might be. You know. I don't know. So, what do you think? We have to make an executive decision after the bowl thing. Do we bring the suit back for March Madness?
Now, did you guys fill brackets out last year?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't. Okay.
No, it's too painful. So just based on that response, your answer is no. It's almost like there was an edict from the top, no more.
Well, he may be busy with meetings and stuff, you know, depending on what. You like that one. Good. Glad I'm here to make your day.
You have such a good sense of humor. Yeah, sure. If you really think, sure. yeah, sure. Guy's setting up the next kegger over whatever at the frat.
You'll get a kick out of this. So I stopped by his office today just to, you know, say hi and catch up. He already has the Albright coffee mug on his desk. Didn't take long.
P.T. Barnum was right.
So I need to get a kick out of that.
Oh, man.
So when you're thinking of picking March Madness games, you mean like picking the first, like the batch of second-round games you were thinking?
You picked the whole tournament. Okay. You get 1 point for each, or 2 points for each first round. 4 for the second, 6 for the third, 8, then 10 for the semifinals, and 12 if you get the championship team right. So if you can get some upsets through, you can garner some points. This will all be for local authorities for fun. There'll be no money exchanging at any point during this. I'd make a joke about being the Rick Neuheisel rule, but Neuheisel cleared everything with compliance and then got... Then it ended up biting him. So that's not good.
Yeah, this would be pretty much just for absolute tried and true bragging rights.
I respect Neuheisel too much, especially his opinions. I think he's terrific as an analyst. I mean, terrific. Jack Ham and I were talking about him today, as a matter of fact, how good we think he is. All right. I mean, I think we ought to do it. The question is, do we allow the, two or three-time defending bowl champion?
Three.
Three-time defending bowl champion. Do we allow him in to this tournament? Because he'll pick every small team. I mean, you know he will.
A la Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, but I was at that game.
Yes, you were.
I was at that game when they beat Georgetown. It's amazing in tournaments, whether it's the Big Ten tournament or way back the Atlantic 10 tournament or the NCAAs. When you have multiple games being played on a site, how the fans jump on board of the underdog. And it's like they're playing a home game. Now, there's obviously method to the madness. If you're San Diego State's fans, you're cheering like crazy because you want Georgetown out of the tournament. They're next for you. Cincinnati fans were going crazy. You know, they thought it was incredible, although they got knocked out by Creighton. Okay. But that's it's amazing how that works. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you are the home team. I mean, you're the home team out of nowhere, because it's not just everybody loves the underdog. They love what the underdog can do for them. You said San Diego State was next, and then I watched San Diego State play that night. And my first thought was, in watching San Diego State play that night, was that, I mean, I said to Dick Girardi, I said, Florida Gulf Coast is going to beat them. And they did. But the fans from San Diego State didn't know it. They're all jumping up and down, great. You know, Ted Leitner, my friend who does San Diego State, is a good guy. Right? And I said, Ted, I said, watch out for that team. He goes, no. He said, I took a long look at him. He said, they're pretty good. He says, they do some wild and crazy things. I said, yeah. So they're fun. But see, the suit will pick all those teams. Now, he'll hit on three of them, and then he'll miss on 12 of them and won't understand that, you know, That stupid thing called talent gets in the way. But it's fine. I'll tell you, let me give you one mid-major. Everything in this thing is going to depend on matchups, obviously. One mid-major that I think bears watching. I mean, besides Gonzaga, okay? Middle Tennessee State, veteran team, has two forwards that play really a nice, conventional, mid-range game in. And defensively, they play a 1-3-1 that morphs into a 2-3 that is not easy to get ready for. So just file that one away. Is one of those that could be fun for your little run. Middle Tennessee State. Be an incredible year for them if they make the NCAAs. They'll make the Hawaii Bowl and they'll make the NCAAs in the same year if they can get the job done.
Yeah, currently sitting 25-4 and leading Conference USA. Only one conference loss.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I knew you would know that.
I know. I'm just saying, they're a mid-major to watch for. That could maybe win a round or two. It's always interesting when I hear how, you know, the little guy makes the tournament. It's amazing how once the little guy pulls the upset, like the second weekend, when it's the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, people don't want to see the little guy anymore. The ratings show it. They want to see the big guys now play and slug it out. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. I was going through the websites earlier. You know, typical day at ESPN.com. LeBron wakes up. Headline. Okay, good. Just kidding. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. DeAndre Jordan, LA Clippers. You're not supposed to be wearing devices. A black sweatband covering his right wrist fell off DeAndre Jordan. It revealed he was wearing a biometric computer that he has strapped to his wrist. This one tracks your heart rate, your skin temperature, other metrics. Part of the heart rate is to show how hard you've been working. Also can track how much sleep you get, real sleep or not. And the sweatband fell off. Oh, we've got one of those monitors. Now, it's interesting because Penn State basketball. Now, some teams actually in college basketball have these monitors. You know where they are? They have them sewn into the uniforms. Do you know that? Penn State wears the wrist ones, and they can't wear them during a game. Now, I don't know what the monitor is supposed to tell anybody during the game.
I guess they can also check your sweat level and how, you know, if you're dehydrated, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I can look at him and see he's sweating. I mean, whatever happened to actually looking at somebody and going, you know what? He is breathing, is labored, and he's sweating.
Now, where at in the uniform do they stitch that in at?
Sometimes it is stitched in the back. In the back part of the uniform.
Like middle of the back between the shoulder blades?
Yeah, middle of the back between the shoulder blades. A lot of teams have it stitched in back there. Not everybody. A few teams do. Just to let you know. A little something maybe you didn't realize.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So. So there you go. And you can do it to like DeAndre Jordan. You were wearing your wrist and covered up with a wristband. Oh, it fell off. I hate when that happens. So he's the sports bozo of the day. But he'll make enough money from his next State Farm commercial that'll make up for all of this and much more. Somebody was mentioning earlier, well, Northwestern's a young team. You know, they talk about, you know, everybody, you know, when you know Penn State's lost so many close games, so of course people want to take shots, and I understand that. But, you know, if you got to take a shot, at least know what you're talking about. It's always one of the biggest problems I've had with doing shows is I sit there and I hear too many things over time where I go, okay, it's not that hard to find out. Northwestern is middle of the pack experience-wise. They are 187 in team experience. 187. Penn State's 332. Okay.
And you said that's out of what, 350?
Out of 351.
Okay.
So Penn State has 19 schools younger. And they'll be facing, by the way, one of them on Sunday. Iowa's actually younger. But Northwestern's right in the middle of the pack. They're at 187. As I mentioned, it's a mostly junior-centric team. Scotty Lindsey's a junior. Bryant McIntosh is a junior. Vic Law is a redshirt sophomore, so he was in that same class. He's a junior. Sanjay Lumpkin's a fifth-year senior. Pardon is a sophomore, true sophomore. Gavin Skelly, I want to say, is a junior. Taphorn's a senior. So that's who they are. And then they got this kid Brown they bring off the bench. It's a true freshman. He's very, very good. He's able to work his way in because of McIntosh. They got really lucky with him. He had verbaled to Indiana State. And they said, why don't you come on and play in the Big Ten? He said, sure, I can do that. And turns out he's a heck of a player. Now, is he a first-team all-Big Ten guy? No. But he's a really good college basketball player? Yes. They've got a pretty good crew. Yeah, Skelly is a junior. Yep. Yeah, Lumpkin's a senior. Taphorn's a senior. Pardon's a sophomore. Skelly's a junior. Lindsey's a junior. Law's a junior. McIntosh's a junior. And Isaiah Brown is a freshman. And they've come together. I mean, that goes back to Doug Collins' point. As he said to Dick and me, he said, hey, guys, he said, look, they've all kind of grown up together. And as Sean Morris mentioned, he said, these are the kind of games, you know, the way Penn State lost the other day, he said, that's the same way Northwestern lost when these guys were freshmen, too. Which is true. In fact, last year Penn State played Northwestern home and away last year. When they went out to Northwestern, Penn State beat them with relative ease. When they came back to Penn State, Northwestern won with ease. I mean, it's the oddest series. And if somebody could tell me and figure out Illinois, I'd appreciate it. Because I have no idea how they've won five games in a row. None. one 800 795 9565. Look, it's going to be fun. Northwestern gets in. They've never been in before. And the way they won last night was dramatic.
Yeah, now they get Purdue on Sunday. That should be an interesting game.
That game's at Purdue, though, right?
Let's see. At Northwestern, it's actually a CBS national TV broadcast, Sunday at 4:30.
I see. Interesting. I think it'll be interesting in some ways because McIntosh is better. If McIntosh changes teams and he's Purdue's point guard, Purdue is probably a two-line seed. See, again, I am not big at all on Purdue's point guard play. I'm just not. So.
And prior to Iowa taking on Penn State on Sunday, they've got Wisconsin tonight. What's one or two things you're going to see with Iowa tonight? But they got to go to Whiskey.
I mean, you want to know the biggest difference between Iowa's freshman, Cook, Bohannon, for example. Cook's really good inside. Bohannon. the biggest difference between the Iowa freshman and the Penn State freshman is quite simple. Call Peter Jock, the senior, who leads the conference in scoring. You'd be amazed at what he does. It really frees up everybody else to play their game. And that's the biggest part for Iowa. One area where Iowa's not good, they are not a good shot-blocking team. In fact, they are dead last in the conference in two-point percentage. But Cordell Pensel, the freshman, really good player, nice player. Jordan Bohannon can really shoot the three. Isaiah Moss is a redshirt freshman, so second-year player. Ahmad Wagner is just a sophomore. They bring Nicholas Bear off the bench. Bear's a good player. Bear's a good, you know, Bear's interesting. Bear's a really good shooter, and he's a terrible free throw shooter. I can't figure it out.
Think with all the hype that Swanigan's getting at Purdue, when you said that Peter Jock's leading the league in scoring, is he quietly doing that, or is this just that just me?
No, we've watched Peter Jock do this. We expected Peter Jock to lead the league in scoring. The difference is Swanigan is just behind him in scoring, but he's also grabbing 13 rebounds a game. He's averaging a double-double. Jock's averaging over 20 a game, almost 21 a game. 37% in threes. And here's my favorite Peter Jock stat, which can't happen on Sunday. Jock has missed only 12 free throws the entire season, and he has been to the line a lot. He averages 5 free throw attempts a game. I mean, he's 142 of 154 in free throws. He's at 92%. He's just a really good offensive player, good shooter. Get 48% of his twos, 37% of his threes. Just a good player. And that 92%, by the way, is fifth in the nation. Just really good. And that's what's allowed their freshmen to develop. They had a senior who took all the pressure off them. They play at a really fast pace. So pace tonight will be important when they play Wisconsin, because Iowa is 19th in the nation in average length of possession. They are not very good in certain areas defensively. The two-point percentage against them is over 52% this year, and they are 13th in the conference in field goal percentage defense against the two. Penn State, when they face teams like that, and Illinois is one of them that's fallen into that category, that's made a big difference in games for Penn State when they have not had to encounter a shot blocker. Now, I mentioned how Iowa is 19th in the nation in pace. And I talked about style meaning something. Well, guess who's dead last in the Big Ten in pace, and guess who's 339th in the country in pace? Wisconsin. They play so slow, so deliberate. I mean, they average almost 20 seconds per possession. They're 339th in the country. Penn State's 31st in the country at 15.5 seconds per possession. I mean, they just get so many more possessions than these teams. And that will be the key tonight. I mean, Iowa plays faster than Penn State, 15.3. And there's Wisconsin, 20 seconds of possession. They run that swing offense, not all the time, but they run something a Greg Gard brought back. He brought back the swing offense. And what the essentials of the swing offense, okay, the key component to it is this. In the swing, at some point during the set, if it's run at a 20-second clip, all five guys will post. That's what it is. So in a swing, you post and post. That's the offense. I've heard some people say, hey, Penn State should run Wisconsin's offense. Really? Okay. You probably don't even know what it's called, but that's all right. It's okay. Like I say, I hear all sorts of interesting things during the course of a year.
So is Wisconsin going just as slow now with Greg Gard compared to Bo Ryan?
Or is it slower?
I mean, they're
quicker now than the middle of the Bo's run. And Bo's run, I mean, it was a 35-second shot clock, and it was watching Chariots of Fire in the beach scene. All right, now it's a 30-second clock, so they have to run it a little quicker. But they're still 339th in pace. And what teams have done, and Nebraska showed everybody the blueprint, was the way they doubled Happ and then in the post, and the way they doubled Nigel Hayes. And Hayes has not had the kind of senior year I thought he had the potential to have. Has not. And Vito Brown has not played well. And Bronson Koenig's been hurt. He's been playing despite the injury. And they still... Wisconsin would be a 6 seed right now. It is senior night at Madison tonight, so it's going to make a difference. And Wisconsin's one of those teams that next year, if they are battling for the top four again, Greg Gard should be coach of the year because they're losing everybody except for Happ. And I don't know if Happ's going to go to the draft or not. I don't know. But they're losing Hayes, Showalter, Vito Brown, and they're losing Koenig. It's four of their five starters. And I was never enamored with their bench. We'll come back. So that's what I'm looking at. I mean, Peter Jocks is really, really good. I mean, you know the story of that family. His brother Dal Jock went to Penn. They came over from Africa. They had nothing. Nothing. And Dal Jock ends up getting his degree from Penn. Peter's going to get his degree from Iowa. And they both ended up being really good basketball players. I think Dal Jock averaged 14 or 15 points a game. And it was really cool the year Dick Girardi went into the U.S. Basketball Writers Association Hall of Fame down in Dallas. The player honored that year was Dal Jock. Okay, we'll come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show as we close it out for today. Tomorrow on the show, Jeff Byers on the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. And my brother in the show with some picks tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we'll have to add Purdue Northwestern to our picks tomorrow. Yeah, we got to add
that'll
that
be good.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be good.
We'll do a little four-pack tomorrow.
That'll be the last game at Welsh Ryan Arena for almost 2 years. They will not play in Welsh Ryan Arena next year. It's being redone.
So will they go to Chicago?
They'll go to the Rosemont out by the airport where DePaul for years played.
During the Coach Meyer days.
The Rosemont Horizon, yeah. So they'll go over there and play there next year for 1 year. So no Evanston next year. And I don't know if they're on the... who knows? I don't know. The schedule changes every year now as to who you play home and away. It doesn't rotate back and forth over a two-year span. They take five teams, you play them home and away. Then the next season, five more teams to play home and away. Then the season after that, the three you haven't played yet home and away, plus two you played the first year. So I don't know how it works next year. I don't know as to who the home and aways are. But Northwestern will be good next year. Northwestern has all those guys, except for Taphorn. You know, he's not going to be back. Lumpkin, who's a junkyard dog. I love watching Lumpkin play. He won't be back either. Pardon. Yeah. And Pardon has a decision to make. I don't know. There have been a lot of pro scouts that have been following Pardon around. And say he stays. McIntosh is a senior. This is next year. McIntosh would be a senior. Lindsey would be a senior. Skelly would be a senior. Law would be a redshirt junior, so academically he's a senior. It'll be his fourth year in the program. Pardon would be a junior. That'd be one heck of a squad he has coming back. Very, very good. Now, actually, one of the older teams next year would be Ohio State. Then flipping it the other way, Wisconsin will fall back and be a younger team. Purdue, you know, let's face it, I mean, does anybody expect Swanigan back? Purdue changes next year, too. Michigan State, you expect Bridges to leave. The question is whether Nick Ward will leave. If Ward stays, Michigan State's going to be really, really good. But if Ward and Bridges both go, and I expect Bridges, everybody expects Bridges to go, then it changes the dynamics on that team.
And of course, with our boys in blue and white, the 65-game process will continue into next year, and that arrow pointing way, way up.
You hope. I mean, you hope. That's what you're hoping for.
Well, we'll talk to you in about an hour. More hoop talk with the coach tonight.
He'll be there tonight, Rob Cooper, the baseball coach, as well, at Letterman's. Every time I went there before, the suit would give me a list of things to bring back.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.